at the donut.
All right, exit donuters, welcome to our podcast special on the Avengers, the Age of Ultron. Depending on which time zone that you're watching this, if you're Central, it's the 30th of April. If you're Eastern time, it's now the 1st of May. May the 4th be with you eventually. But with me as always, I have...
This is Amy.
And there are no strings on me.
Oh, God, Mike, I love it. It's obviously Mike's favorite character. So this edition of Exit Dome is going to be a nice little quick one. We're going to try and do a lot of ones based on the initial movies, and we're going to try and get them as soon as it's done, because all three of us actually just got done watching the movie from our different like time zones, but just got it out kind of fresh. So let's get right into it. Of course, we're talking about Avengers, The Age of Ultron, which is the sequel to the 2012 regular Avengers, directed by Joss Whedon. And of course, we got a lot of returning characters, as well as some new characters as well, including James Spader, who plays the Ultron baddie. So let's start with you two, since you guys freshly got out of it. How about we start with you, Amy? Amy, what did you initially think of Age of Ultron?
I thought it was good. We were talking about it as we left. You know, I didn't know going in that it was 2.5 hours, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. But it didn't feel that way. It moved pretty. I thought the pace was really good. You know, there was plenty of action, but then the stuff between kind of kept you along until the next thing. So I thought it was really good.
Cool. How about you, Mike?
It was everything I expected it to be. I think the marketing was pretty accurate. I think it was pretty well on. There were enough surprises in the movie that anyone who, I didn't see all the marketing, but I saw a lot of it, but anybody who saw the previews and the marketing will enjoy, I think. And it was good. It was very good. I don't think it's anywhere near the best Marvel film, but it's certainly not the worst. And all the Marvel films are usually pretty good. And I would say it's very good. It was action packed. It's very dark. It is one of the darker Marvel films. I had expected that I would not be able to take my kids, and I'm not going to bring them. Maybe I'll let them watch it when I rent it or something, but it's not, I don't think it's appropriate for anyone under about probably 13, for sure. PG-13 movies are sometimes okay and sometimes not. This is much closer, I would say, to adult content than Guardians of the Galaxy. It's much closer to the Winter Soldier in terms of tone. I think it was good. It had some signature Joss Whedon humor, which was great, and I enjoyed it. I will probably see it again in the theaters before it's done with its run.
Yeah. My friends and I over in the East Coast, I went with 5 people I knew, a lot of self-obsessed geeks. I kind of took a different approach. I basically avoided any kind of marketing. I think once the initial trailer started coming out for Avengers, of course I started watching those, but probably in the 6 to 8 weeks leading up to it, I tried to avoid any kind of interview, anything that could remotely spoil it. Like there was one article on Yahoo where they completely like just put up a blatant like event that happens like in the movie. And I'm like, Yahoo, what are you doing? You know, like you're kind of like ruining these kinds of stuff. So, because I always, when it comes to these particular movies, I can't really hold them in the same respects as the individual Marvel movies, because all those ones are more character, you know, kind of to the one character, where this one's more ensemble. So I try not to compare the Avenger movies too much to like an Iron Man or a Thor or even like a Guardians of the Galaxy, because I think it's just a completely different dynamic that's going on than those movies provide. And in some ways, you know, by the way, for anyone watching, you know, we're probably going to start some spoilers early on, because because of what's involved in the film, there's just no way to not talk about the movie and not talk about the many elements that were brought into it without giving away some spoilers. So if you guys haven't seen the movie yet, hit pause on this, go spend 2.5 hours watching the movie, and then come back and watch the rest of the podcast the entire way. So that being said, you know, we had a lot of people represented from all three of the major movies that came before it. A lot of co-stars from Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America, who kind of like come into the picture both like the recent movies as well. And you know, I basically had like a nerdgasm throughout the entire like movie. You know, like sure, it's probably the furthest away from what happens in the comics as far as like what the characters are entailing. But I mean, for me, it's more of a snowball effect. It started out like how I thought it would have started out, like this movie. That's how sophomore movies are kind of hard, you know, because there is so much exposition that happened in the first one as far as getting together that right off the bat, you already know that they're adventures and where they go with it. So we'll kind of tie into that one. So let's go ahead and talk about, like, first of all, the overall plot work for you guys. So, Mike, we know that you're a plotologist over here on some kind of level. Was there anything in the plot that felt kind of like forced or felt, you know, kind of like
convenient
or anything? What elements were you? And I want to know the same one that asked me, so go for it.
So the first thing that jumped out was the way the movie opens. It doesn't make any sense. So we are caught up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, you know, slight spoiler alert for the last couple episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but you should catch up if you're going to watch The Avengers if you like that show. So we knew what to expect, and the last, like, you know, 2 minutes of the last episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. ties into this, and it sort of explains kind of a little bit how the movie starts, but not really. I don't understand how they all just showed up. It doesn't make sense. If you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you understand why they were so the opening sequence is that attack on the fortress that you see in the previews, and that sort of makes sense coming from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but how they come together and how they show up in that moment and where they've all been, there's no explanation, and you never get any explanation at all. The other like sort of random plot point that really bothered me, that they, I think, tried to explain a little bit, was when Ultron is, you know, assembling his army and all the things that he's doing, why he's unable to get into any of Tony Stark's computers and things. He's able to get into all of the computer systems. He's able to escape through the internet and attack all kinds of stuff, but he can't take over the Iron Man suits ever. He can't, you know, there's a lot of kind of open stuff there for me. What I will say, and I told Amy as we came out, I thought, so the biggest problem I had in Avengers is that Loki's plan didn't make any sense. Even if it had succeeded, I don't know how it would have really affected what he wanted, which was to dominate the world. He would have, I guess, beat the Avengers, who weren't yet a team, in New York, but there's still a whole world. This ultimate plan that Ultron has, makes complete sense to me. And now it's crazy. It's kind of weird and goofy, but I like the plan. And that, I think, went a long way for me buying into the movie.
Mm.
I don't know. Did you have any plot holes that you could think of?
Every time I hear people, well, not so much people, hear the two of you guys analyze movies, I feel like a complete moron, because I'm like, that didn't even occur to me as I was watching that, you know. But they did. He did like erase their files and stuff like that. Right. But right, yeah, it didn't even like dawn on me. I guess I like just put myself in the movie and I just go with it. And
you just try to have fun.
Yeah.
Sure. There's like.
I'm like, it totally went over my head. Well, I feel stupid. No. Yeah, I don't know. There were issues that I had with the movie. I was telling Mike when we were leaving, the first thing that, you know, after watching the initial sequence, the opening scenes, I was like, oh, this is going to be a long 2.5 hours, because that whole fight scene for me was very, it was almost like dreamlike. The movement was, and the effects didn't look good compared to stuff that we've seen in the other Marvel movies.
Really? But
then from that point on, I was hooked. Everything after that was fine. It was just that initial, you know, it was only when they were outside. Once they were inside, it was fine. I don't know. And maybe it was the 3D we were in. We saw it in 3D. And they needed to tweak it a little bit. It was a little bit off. There was a little bit of...
Did you saw it in 3D, right, Richie?
Yeah, my double feature was in 3D. So.
Your 3D crisp.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was our theater. Our theater had a problem with the 3D projection. It was fine. It wasn't bad, but it was noticeable at times that it was like, I don't know, not aligned right.
We had a little bit of the double image on stuff, but.
Oh, okay. Well, I did the double feature where they showed the original Avengers, which was great. It's kind of hard to watch it because of, you have to remember, like, it's that there's in between those movies that there are four other Marvel movies that come in between there, right? We still have the Iron Man 3, we have the Thor, we have the Winter Soldier, and we have Guardians.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of cool. We actually had a little preview of Ant-Man in our little interview, like before, like the preview. So, overall, like the, it's hard when it comes to these ensemble type movies because you kind of have to bring them all up together. I think I liked the rhythm a little bit better, like of this. I mean, it does.
Did I hit the plot hole that you thought?
Yeah. I felt it was so a little convenient. Like later, I was wondering how come like the town that they were in, like, you know, why this one of all locations, and it went back in between. You know, that what didn't work for me was why he chose that particular area to kind of like set up like base. Like it was kind of, I know that's where like they were setting up all that oddball stuff with the scepter and everything, but like why would they go back to the same location again when the Avengers were just there? You know, like the Avengers didn't really spend any time. Like as soon as they saw all the Chakari stuff, I would have stayed there for a little bit. What the heck's going on here? You know, like let's investigate this place like a little bit longer. Hey, this is all this crap from New York. What the heck are these robots doing over here? You know,
well, like it wasn't so much the fact that he went back there; it was the fact that the Avengers didn't even think that he would go there. That, like, they didn't even think to look there.
Well, yeah, but then even like once they're done there, you know, like they kind of like left, right? Like they went back to like New York to have like their little party.
They would complicate it all because like that's what SHIELD does. They have that place, the vault has all the stuff.
What was a different dynamic, which I appreciated about this movie was they did a couple of things that were kind of like, you know, people taking on similar roles, right? So in the first movie, Hawkeye gets taken over, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like immediately right off the bat, before we even can get to know Hawkeye for a little bit, he's all of a sudden under control of Loki within 10 minutes of the movie starting. Now in this one, Hawkeye's the only one out of all of them who doesn't get affected. So I thought that was like a little, that I was like, oh, okay.
That was a twist. I like it. It was fun.
And then just like, you know, in the first one, there's someone else, you know, messing with someone's like mind who, you know, like the Scarlet Witch, but that was a pretty cool dimension how they kind of went into each other's, you know, we get a little bit of what's going on in their head, right? I mean, and because it's for the universe's purpose, right? For very different reasons.
Right.
Like Mike was just for Ragnarok, right? Is that right?
Yeah, there was a lot. You could tell they were going to Ragnarok.
They're trying to set that up for like whatever the end of like whatever is. And notice that they didn't really say anything about it once he got back, you know, like from like figuring like that one. They had Captain America, which is like the scene I've been calling for. I'm like, you know, it'd be so great if he like went back in time and got his dance with Peggy. And they put that scene in here. I'm like, oh my God, you guys are killing it if you guys aren't going to do anything remotely to that. You know, Robert Downey Jr., I thought they had closed the chapter on his, like, troubles with, like, the Avengers, like, thing in Iron Man 3, but then they brought that back. So I'm like, why are you bringing that back? Like, is it really still bothering him, like, that much? Scarlet Witch, it was kind of cool because, you know, we're not really knowing much. I mean, I knew as soon as it started, and, like, my friends are like, why would there be dancers? I'm like, it's the freaking Black Widow program. He's like, what? I'm like, she's Black Widow. He's like, that's also the name of, she created them. I'm like, no. So that's kind of like hard to, you know, I don't think they were so in line. So I can think that confused a lot of people. And then they brought to the point where, like, you know, Tony's like, oh, I saw it. I'm like, wait a minute. So were those future predictions or were those things that were trying to trick them? Right. So I was like kind of lost there. Like, and it, for me, for like, you know, where they were going, you kind of go along with it. Obviously you see like where they're going, but I don't still quite get Tony's motivation for wanting to protect the world the way that he does. I think it's very necessary for Civil War eventually coming up, but I just don't know, like, you know, like what prompted, you know, again, I didn't get enough from Iron Man 3 for this one. So I don't know if you felt that way, Mike, about those things that I'm talking about. But
yeah, well, I totally get what you're saying, and I think that's a legit. I mean, I do think it's a legitimate question, but I mean, I like that. Like, you know, Scarlet Witch says that no, he's gonna try to. He gets the vision, and before he's the vision, and they're like, you know, he's like, you know, she says, no, he's not gonna destroy it. He's gonna try to fix it because he's a fixer. He's a mechanic.
That's right.
He fixes things, right? And the only way he knows how to fix things is with hardware. You know, so I was able to, I could buy that. I don't know that I'd buy it exactly. What I did like is the way that Ultron was born, that they think they failed and they go off and they have their party and like Jarvis is still working the shit and like, you know, you see success and like, you know, he starts figuring stuff out and Spader was awesome.
Yeah, Mike, you know, let's go ahead and, you know, we might as well talk about that, guys. Actually, let's start with Amy on this one. Amy, so you watched the original, well, how long ago did you watch the original Avengers movie? Like recently to catch up or?
We watched all of them leading up to this, I'd say over the last
week. So for the newer characters, did they all leave an impression on you? Were some kind of like, eh, were some like necessary? Like what did you think about the newer characters?
I was excited to see what they were going to do it. Cause I, you know, and I know you were comic book kids, so you know all the backstories on these and Mike does a lot of, you know, he reads and follows all this stuff. So I have no idea all these things that you guys were talking about that it was forecasting for future things. I'm like, I have no idea. Cause I don't read the articles. I don't watch the interviews. I just watch the movies. I was very excited to see what they're super, you know, what they were capable of. I knew Quicksilver a little bit because of his appearance in the X-Men. So I knew he was like super quick and, you know, but I wasn't really sure what her power was. But it seemed like, you know, because at first I was like, oh, well, she just has like the telepathy and stuff like that, but it goes way beyond that. So, you know, I'm very intrigued by her as a character. She makes a huge transformation as the movie goes on as far as her inner strength and stepping out and becoming this strong female character, which I think is, you know, really important to the Marvel Universe. You know, they need more of that. Sure. And she's a likable character. She's attractive. But she, you know, there's still like a vulnerability in her, which I think is also important that she's not just like this, you know, hard ass that can't, you know, really understand or relate to other people. So I'm very intrigued by her character. I'm not a huge war, you know, whatever his name, Don Cheadle's character, the war patriot and stuff. So I'm not super excited. I mean, he's fun, and you know, he and Stark have a little banter, and they're always joking back and forth. But for me, he doesn't really add a whole lot. Who else? What's the other one? The one you like so much?
Oh, Anthony Matthews.
Yes, Falcon. Yeah. So he was great in Winter Soldier. So I was glad that they brought him back. And I'm interested to see what they do with him as the in the next movies and stuff, if they develop this character more.
Okay. Mike, she talked about kind of more like Scarlet Witch and maybe Pietro. What do you talk about our main villain, Batty?
Yes.
Ultron, yeah. Like, how is
Ashley on Team Ultron? Especially now that I know what his plan was, which was a good plan. So, I guess we're in a way spoiler territory anyway. So,
yeah.
Obviously, is to create a meteor to cleanse the Earth of the cancer that's humans, because they're warring. And even though the Avengers have set themselves up as the saviors, guardians of peace, all they do is bring war and destruction. And it's a great plan. And it almost works. It's very cool. He's great. He's awesome. From the first moment obviously they recorded a lot of his dialogue in the previews is not used in the movie. So which is good. I like that. There's the sequence in Wakanda, or I don't know. I don't think, I guess it's not in Wakanda when they were on the graveyard, the shipyard, with Ulysses Claw, and trying to get the vibranium. His conversations in there were so great. He's way funnier than I expected him to be. There's more humanity in his character than in most villains, and he's not human, which is great. I love the touches about and the callbacks to him actually being Tony Stark's descendant and kind of making some of the same mistakes that Tony Stark does, including believing he could create something that was going to help him and save him, and it turns out to be his destruction. It's great. He's one of the best villains in the Marvel universe. I'm partial to the Red Skull. I really like the Red Skull. I thought he was a really good villain. And obviously Loki is like, you know, there's legions of girls around the world that like Loki. But I think he's up there with the best villains in the Marvel universe for sure. I like the ending where he's like, you know, I don't remember what he said. He's basically like, can we get a do-over as they're about to destroy him? He's great. I liked how he kept upgrading himself throughout the movie and throughout the story. He was good. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of complaints around him. Most of my complaints with the movie are that it was, you know, she doesn't drink coffee. Most of my complaints around the movie are that it was fairly predictable in what I expected, and I think they could have done things more interesting. You know, we didn't talk a lot about this being his Empire Strikes Back, and it's not. It's not at all. It's Avengers again, and which is fine. I mean, a lot of the same stuff where there's Faceless Army Number 2 and, you know, and all that. But it was very entertaining and very good. There was a lot of good stuff in it.
Yeah.
I'm very interested to see his 3-hour cut will be released on the extended version because there were some parts in it that felt like they could have had more that they kind of cut, you know?
Yeah, maybe some of those things that I was talking about earlier. You know, we'll talk about another major character. And again, spoiler alerts for anyone who's coming. We have the Vision, who comes in at played by Paul Bettany. And there's a debate whether Marvel breaks its rules. So Marvel has a rule that once a person plays a character, they're not allowed to play a future character, like another character, like in the same universe. So a lot of people are like, oh, why does Chris Evans play the Human Torch, but he's okay as Captain America? Well, that's not really part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's Fox making their like version of like the Fantastic Four. There was talk that Vin Diesel might come back and be another character. Do you guys recall like if Vin Diesel was supposed to play like another character in the universe?
There's a lot of rumors that he's going to play Black Bolt.
Right. That's what it is. Like, he's going to play Black Bolt, the Inhumans. So it kind of doesn't break the rule because it is kind of made, you know, the Vision kind of says in the movie, oh, I don't really know where I'm from. I'm kind of part Ultron. I'm kind of part Jarvis, you know, so it's okay that he actually has it. But I was actually very, very surprised by his look. He's in the comic books. He's basically android. In this one, he's flesh. So I thought that was kind of an interesting. But again, his stuff is bonded by vibranium. So I guess he's maybe like a cyborg, which is a combination, I think, of flesh and robotics or something like that. So I think he's like the best of both worlds. But I think the character looked great. It was definitely like a live action suit. Like, there's nothing too CG about it, which was just fine because you got all the CG in the world from Ultron. And then of course there's with Scarlet Witch being there in the Vision, you know, there's, you know, everyone always remembers the romance. That was one of the romances from like the main Avengers comic, like way back when, that came out like the 1963 or something like that. So, but it was like Amy was saying, I think it was great to have some of those elements from recent Marvel movies, like your, like Red Falcon, like War Machine, like Heimdall, just to kind of, just yeah, to like, yeah, I wish in some ways that they would tie in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in a reverse way, like, you know, to kind of let them know about, you know, like, about that kind of universe. I don't think it's time. I don't think we don't have enough Netflix shows because we just had Daredevil. But I think eventually in the future, we'll probably start reverting to like the Defenders or something like that, like down the road. So let's talk about the original characters who brought back. So again, we have Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. We have Chris Evans as Captain America. We have Chris Hemsworth, who's playing Thor again. We have Scarlett Johansson, who's the Black Widow. We have Mark Ruffalo returning as Hulk, and then slash Bruce Banner. We have Jeremy Renner again as Hawkeye for the main Avengers. And then backing up, you also have like Maria Hill. You also have Nick Fury, spoiler alert, back kind of thing. So we'll actually start off with Hawkeye. I don't really want to talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. too much, but, you know, for those who complained that they didn't get enough of Hawkeye or what was going on, they certainly got their fill in this one of his backstory, which was a thing to do when you already have all the other movies. Like, there was no, and you kind of had to, right? It was either going to be Hawkeye or Scarlett Johansson. And in some ways, they both kind of had more of a background story revealed in this one, but Hawkeye definitely got the brunt of it. And of course, they were kind of building up the popcorn. So I think it was kind of cool to see that element of his kind of world back behind and about what his role is. And he actually got a lot of the humor jokes this time around, which I was really, really happy about because he's a really, really funny guy. I think Jeremy Renner's great when he's like in that like sarcastic kind of like mode. Like, I didn't really like his character so much in like Mission Impossible or something like that, you know, or like the Bourne Supremacy, but I certainly liked him in this Hawkeye element because he is kind of a goofy kind of guy. And it was great to see everyone else, you know. Iron Man's my guy, you know. Oh, how dare me? I ran out of battery power for my little test over here. It was great to see Robert Downey Jr. I love the sequence with both of them are kind of him and Bruce Banner. They're playing more up to like their nerdiness together, kind of like hanging out. Amy, did you like a lot of any newer dynamics with some of the returning characters at all, or?
Yeah, that was one of the other things that we were talking about too, with the introduction of Scarlet Witch and, you know, her little mind stuff that she does to him. Getting to see kind of a little bit of the origin stories, not so much of Captain America because his wasn't really origin, but with Black Widow, with her origin story and, you know, her development as the assassin, because I knew she had been an assassin, but I didn't know like the context. I didn't realize she was trained from, you know, childhood basically. And then later on when she's talking to Banner and kind of reveals more of that, like, yeah, it was just very cool to kind of see, you know, where she came from and, you know, why she is the way she is and why she protects herself so much, you know, emotionally and stuff. So that was very interesting. I liked that they incorporated that. The stuff with Hawkeye, it totally caught me off guard because I was not expecting him to be a family man at all. But but it was interesting, and it was, you know, like you said, it kind of sets you up. You think, because as soon as like they get back on the ship and they're going back, Mike and I both look at each other. Well, he's definitely dying now, you know, which is what they want you to think. But it was interesting, you know. It added another layer to it, and, you know, showed that despite the fact that, you know, they are these, you know, defenders of the planet and, you know, all this stuff, that they're people too at their core, and they have, you know, relationships, and they have people they love and care about, you know, that they're thinking about as well. So it just allows you to relate to them a little bit on a different level. So I thought that was all good.
That's cool. Mike, did you like any like the budding like newer relationships? Like, did you think
I was concerned. I mean, it was obvious in the marketing that they were teasing Black Widow Hulk romance, and I was a little concerned that it might be awkward. They sometimes in these movies they do really awkward things. I was just talking about this with somebody today. You know, in the Wolverine, you know, Hugh Jackman, who's like 48 years old, is bedding a 19-year-old Japanese girl, and it's just awkward. It's the Flash. We've talked about this before, about him trying to bang his sister on the T-Flash TV series, which is weird. But this at least feels okay. I mean, I'm sure Mark Ruffalo is a lot older than Scarlett Johansson. I think she's like 30. But they looked fine on screen together. And I liked the dynamic. I liked the kind of way where they, you know, she was pursuing him, but he couldn't, he was scared. And they're both like so emotionally devastated by all the things that have happened to them. And I thought it worked really well. I thought it was great. I thought that the chemistry between Banner and Stark in their science time when they were in all the various science things they were doing was really good. I liked how Thor just kind of like dipped in and dipped out and did his kind of own thing like he does. So I thought it was all good. The Hawkeye stuff was fine. I like the family stuff, but at the end, obviously they're like the tease at the end, obviously, is that a lot of these guys are going away. They're probably gonna. So my suspicion is that you're not gonna see any Stark. You're not gonna see any Hawkeye. You're not gonna see any Banner, and you're obviously not gonna see any more Quicksilver in the first Infinity War movie. That they're retired, and our new Avenger team is the team that they showed. The one big disappointment I had is that they didn't show Hawkeye, or they didn't show it would have been really easy. It would have cost them a small amount of money with the development of the movie to put Falcon in that fight, that last fight sequence. They show a very small amount of War Machine, and they could have just had Falcon pop out and like be circling around and then go away, and it would have just been really cool. And they didn't do it, which, you know, whatever, it's fine. But I wish they had. It would have made it more fun. But the original team was good. The original team was they were together from the very beginning, and they were for the most part together for the whole film. Whereas the first film was this like kind of montage of them all kind of going apart and coming back together and going apart and coming back together. And then you get that hero shot in where they're all in a circle.
They're
really all together. Like, this movie is really about them and their journey together. And there's not, and there are, you get the few important sequences you need, especially with Ultron, and at the beginning what's his name? The German doctor, you get the setup for that stuff. And then occasionally they go off on their own a little bit, but for the most part, it's the core team and they're with you the whole time. And it worked. It was a good movie. I mean, it was a very good movie.
You know, I didn't expect them to kill Strucker.
Yeah, I didn't think they were going to kill him so fast.
I was like, he could have even, because you had the other guy who we see in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, that's the same guy. But I'm like, so you could have actually still had his character, you know, as like someone to still kind of worry about. So I don't know how much this is going to change, like, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then also what I really, really appreciated too was the dynamic that they kind of started to reveal, and it was kind of done in the first one, was between Captain America and Iron Man. So he kind of had like that friction. Like, I love that. I don't know if it was forced, kind of did, but like that scene where they're outside talking about, you know, when they're cutting wood together.
Captain America's pie is huge.
Yeah, don't take it.
It's fine. Don't touch my wood.
Oh my God. And
make it weird.
And speaking of, that entire action sequence, like, okay, so we watched the first one. There's a sequence where you go through all of them, right? And I'm glad that, thank God, that Joss Whedon did the same thing. So he did the same thing in the first one where you kind of follow Black Widow and it fuses into Iron Man. It goes into Iron Man and Captain America, and then Iron Man flies up by Hawkeye, and then Hawkeye shoots something down, and then you see Thor and Hulk. So you're basically that one-track shot. I was having such a nerdgasm. Like, I really couldn't handle, like, how much awesomeness was on the screen. That one action shot, like, towards, like, the end. So I big credit to Joss Whedon for, you know, kind of remembering, like, his core fans. And, yeah, you know, he's, with how he is about dialogue, easily, you know, you know that he could actually have more. It's kind of hard, right? You got to kind of keep the movie kind of, like, going, like, a little bit. And so those, so while we're talking about, like, action sequences, for you two, you know, was there any other like moments as far as like any like humorous moments or very like, you know, very sentimental moments between like anyone that really, really caught you, like specifically? Like for me, like definitely like the scene between like Bruce Banner and I keep calling it Scarlett Johansson. And Natasha, like in like the bedroom scene and everything, and it's so like tense. Like you want them to kind of kiss, you know. You don't, you know, like where are you gonna, is gonna go with this? And then also, I guess that'll probably be like the major one for me. And of course, like, you know, Robert Downey Jr.'s character, kind of buddy buddies with like, you know, Bruce Banner. I thought those were like great interactions. Did you guys have any other ones that you were like, any like memorable scenes at all for you guys?
I mean, the scene you were just talking about between Banner and Natasha, that was great. That was, you know, I like when she kind of opens up a little bit. She doesn't do that very often. So that was kind of neat to kind of get a little glimpse into who she is. Cause she's always got her walls up. As far as humor goes, there's probably, you know, I mean, we laughed throughout a lot of it. So there was definitely plenty of it. I think like you made a good point that a lot of it centered around Hawkeye's character. I think the probably the one that I remember the most is when Quicksilver rescues his sister at the end. And he's like, come on, old man, or keep up, old man, or whatever. And he's like, oh, I get to say that, you know, the last time I saw him, Ultron was sitting on him. I don't know what happened. You know, I was gonna say, you know, that was great. I thought that, you know, what they did with Renner's character was great. But there was a lot of humor. That's the one that stands out for me that I remember the most. But I mean, I remember laughing at a ton throughout the whole thing. Just little one-liners and quips, you know, them ribbing Captain because he's so old-fashioned. And,
oh, yeah.
Yes, language. And stuff. I know, yeah. And then that nobody will let things go about it, and they just keep pointing it out because that's what Mike does to
and then
me.
And then he swears yes. at the
and
end.
Then, yeah, exactly. so those are great. I think for me, you know, Thor is always so comical because he's such a character, and part of that is I get where he comes from, like that's how they all talk, but it's almost humorous in itself because he's so proper, but he's also, you know, super macho. And I love when he and Stark are like basically comparing their girlfriends and how great they are against each other, and then at the very end he
goes,
that's right, Jane's still better, so like that, after everybody walks around, you know, so that was great, you know. So
How about you, Mike? Any memorable?
So it's funny you bring up the where he was, you know, pretending he was going to shoot Quicksilver, because my favorite was right before that. I thought the best moment in the movie in terms of kind of the Joss Whedon, like the most Joss Whedon thing, was Hawkeye talking to Scarlet Witch when he's talking to her about making the decision to become an Avenger, and they're sitting in that he crashes with her through the window. And they're standing there, and she isn't sure what she wants to do. And he's like, I don't remember exactly what he said, except I remember he said, and I'm just a dude with a bow and arrow. And I'm going to go back out there, and I'm not coming back for you, but mm-hmm. you can stay here and be safe, or you can come out there and be an Avenger. Mm-hmm. You know, and like, it's perfectly like rousing and inspirational, but really funny also at the same time. There was a similar moment with Ultron in the ship area where Ultron makes a similar kind of comment. That like, you know, really gets you from the funny point, but it's like hard-edged funny where it makes its point.
Yeah.
What I want to say is I thought that the movie was exactly what you would expect because it's got the great relationships mm-hmm. and it's got the great dialogue and the women are very strong and the action is really bad. It's just, let's just call it what it is. It's the worst action in any Marvel movie ever.
What?
But the action sequences, just stand back, get off your fanboy box for a second, and just remember the action sequences, and then try to remember what watching Winter Soldier is like. Try to remember what watching even Iron Man 3, or the fight sequences in the original Captain America, or you know. The fight sequence choreography of the way they use Whiplash in the car sequence in Iron Man 2. Guardians of the Galaxy, while not spectacular fight sequencing, used its characters in the way, like, there's nothing in this movie like when Groot sticks his stuff mm-hmm. through the guys and bangs them up against the wall. He utilizes the characters in ways that make sense. And there's nothing that stands out as really bad, but there's nothing in the movie I felt, and I haven't seen it twice. I'll probably go see it again so I can make sure that I really feel this. But there's nothing that stands out. You make mention that you didn't really like the opening sequence, Amy, and I agree with you. I thought it was kind of poor, particularly the first hero shot where they're all kind of flying through the air. It was really, really cheesy. It was kind of fine, but the difference between that sequence and the sequence on the ship in Captain America: The Winter Soldier couldn't be more stark. They both have the same purpose. They both are the same kind of thing. It's a throwaway sequence at the beginning of the movie to get involved emotionally into it, but action-packed, and it's not close. The Captain America scene on the ship is 1,000 times better from a fight coordination sequencing perspective. There's nothing in the entire movie that's as good as Black Widow coming down that line, taking the guys out one by one through the stairwell, and that's not even close to the best part of the opening sequence on the boat. There's nothing. There's nothing that's that good. It's faceless androids or metal guys flying at people in the opening sequence. It's them kind of shortcuts all over the place. Nothing really spectacular. That Daredevil scene in the second Daredevil show where they're in that hallway is way superior to any moment action-wise in this movie. Now, the CGI stuff is much better, obviously, because it's big and bad. But there's nothing that's that good in the terms of sequencing the fights and the action. It's all kind of like B-minus, C-plus stuff. Whereas in Captain America, there's some interesting stuff where Thor and Captain America use the shield and he hits the shield and stuff. But there's just not very much. It's really quick. It happens really fast. And it's just like the most interesting stuff I thought was the Scarlet Witch stuff. And you don't really get to most of that until the very end. And a lot of it's really just kind of like off on the side. You don't really see it that much. It's kind of like, you know, quick and gone. Mm. That was my big takeaway. It felt like a Joss Whedon TV show.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you on that one, because the reason why those movies like Guardians of the Galaxy or like the moments when it comes to Winter Soldier is because it's humans on humans. So you kind of get in my head. You kind of take that out of the equation because you can't really fight robots on the same.
Okay, level. Okay. But then, so even like you got they're all flying around at the end, and you've got Iron Man, you've got War Machine, you've got Vision all out there flying around, right? And you've got all these guys flying around. There's nothing in it that's as good as the moment when Falcon bundles up and falls and hides himself in the guns take out the bottom of the helicarrier, which why the helicarriers are protected on the bottom is a whole other sequence at the end of the Winter Soldier. That little sequence when he's flying around and he balls himself up and how he uses himself and how Winter Soldier slings and grabs his wing with a wire. And in the Winter Soldier, how Black Widow grabs the like little taser, little coin thing that she flips at him to disarm his. There's nothing as inventive as any of those things in any part of this movie at all. There's a lot of Avengers and there's a lot of bad guys and there's a lot of action and there's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah. But
there's nothing that's that novel.
Well,
I think that's part of it.
The best, actually, you know what the best thing was? Is when the Hulkbuster punches the Hulk, like the Hulk punched everybody in the first movie. But there's not, I mean, then that was just like an homage to the first movie.
Yeah. When I think part of the problem is you've got so many moving parts.
Yeah.
You know, in the action sequences that you're talking about that are so good, it's one on, I mean, yes, there's other, you know, like when Black Widow comes down the line, there's lots of people that are trying to get to her, but it's more intimate because it's more one-on-one type action sequence, which I think you can develop more. When you've got all these things going on and everybody's flying around, you can't really focus on any one part of it because there's so many things on the screen. So I think you lose some of the magic a little bit.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. You know, and again, it's more of a fantastical fight, but because I think there's more team-up in fighting in this one, which is, you know, kind of reinforcing why, you know, they should be able to fight that way, because, you know, there's just no reason for them to, you know, there's no reason for them to kind of go about it any other way, because they are trying to emphasize like that team element kind of thing. So I would disagree, Mike. I would just say that, like, yeah, I don't think there's anything like specific. Maybe the thing I would have liked to have seen was they made it a point to show Jeremy Renner selected one of the first ones to get ready for like the final battle, and he's picking different arrowheads. I really wish they would have done a little bit more than just go into like someone's head. Like I would have liked them to have seen like play with the environment. I mean, he had more in the first one. He had one that took out a computer system, and you know, he had one that that would like melt like fire into someone. He had another one that had timed explosives into it. I think they could have expanded his arsenal like a little bit more. But you know, like I still love Captain America's like fight sequences. You know, there's that great one at the end where you see like Iron Man, Vision, and Thor kind of all hitting Ultron at the same time. I'm like, that's a badass moment. You know, like they're kind of concentrating all their power. What's up?
That was kind of cool.
Yeah, awesome is what it is.
Well, it was, frankly, it was a little easy.
Well, kind of, like a little bit, you know? Like,
how come when he's going around all the time, he can jump from body to body, but when they get him at the end there and they melt his face off a little bit, all of a sudden he's dead?
He wasn't dead.
I know they got him out of the internet. I understand they got him out of the internet. So maybe they were now trapped him in that one body. Is that, I guess, what the point was?
Well, I thought it was funny when they take him out and then all the other guys, they don't just like stop working the way it did with in the first Avengers, but they all totally just take off and like run away. And I'm like, okay, that's like, where we go.
We're on the wrong team.
Yeah.
I would have expected, you know, Ultron, as far as like his character that's written in the comics, because they're not allowed to... I think because they're not allowed to use, and this is the thing that sucks about this separated movement. So we have Spider-Man, right, who is now part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, whenever they choose to bring him in. But we still have a separation between the X-Men and this movie. So you can't really talk about who Scarlet Witch and Pietro's dad is, you know, which is Magneto. Yeah, the accents kind
of. Do they know that, Richie?
What was that?
They know who their father is?
Yeah, like in the comics, they. And for a time.
Okay, because in, no, the movie, so they think their parents died, right?
Right. So they, yeah, they, both of their parents, like, died. So they brought that up, and I'm like, that sucks because. And you can kill Quicksilver in this universe because it's not really a part of it, but that's why it's a. I think it's a very difficult dynamic. Like.
That's like, a fucking cop-out. That's a cop-out. You're going to kill one Avenger, and that's the one you choose?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can kill him because in this universe, he's not, right? So his main claim to fame is being part of, like, the Brotherhood. You know, like, I guess you could have made it a whole entire, like, backstory for him. Someone needed to die. We all thought it was going to be a Hawkeye. Like, Ultron, as far as, like, a character battle-wise... Do you guys remember the first Thor movie?
Yeah.
Do you remember the metal guy, the protector, who was brought down? Yeah. That's supposed to be on par with what Ultron, in terms of like size, I think, and also what he's made out of. See, Ultron's made out of adamantium, but because adamantium is associated with Wolverine, they can't use it, which is why they use vibranium, which is how you bring in the whole entire, like, you know, stuff about Wakanda, which is fantastic. But again, because you're cutting off a lifeline, and this is the only thing that just sucks about the whole entire thing, you can't really expand. You can't really talk about Pietro's character. I know it's a cop-out, Mike, and I know that he – but if you were going to kill the one as far as, like, who you're able to expand story-wise, and if you had to kill someone, his would have, like, the least
– And here's why it's bullshit.
It would have the least repercussions of that universe because all his backstory is associated with the X.
It's a money cop out. At the end of the movie, you are led to believe. You obviously Pietro dies, Quicksilver dies. You are led to believe that Hulk is lost somewhere, that Hawkeye has retired, and that Tony Stark is no longer on the team. Those are three guys that, in theory, are gone.
Right.
The team, the Avengers, now as it stands at the end, with the end, are Captain America and Black Widow, and the four new Avengers. Iron Patriot or War Machine, Falcon, Scarlet Witch, and Vision. And so those are your six Avengers. Mm-hmm. That's the team. That's the team that's going to start out in Infinity War, right? Maybe. That's the assumption.
Maybe.
That's maybe. The assumption at the end of this movie. That's what they're leading you to believe. So if they're leading you to believe that you have these six guys and you're going to kill off this one, you could have very easily killed off Tony Stark. You could have very easily killed off Ruffalo, or you could have very easily killed off Hawkeye. Quicksilver's sacrifice have to work? Why can't they have killed them both? You know, my point on this is you bring in a character and we follow him for an hour and he dies. At least it was a guy that dies this time. It's always the girls that die. But and then they're gone. Right. The last movie, who dies? Phil Coulson, the fun guy. But he's kind of like the sidekick on the team of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. He's not that big a deal. Mm-hmm. So the you know, you've got all these really super great bad guys, and none of them can even touch one of these guys. Even Hawkeye, who's not even a fucking super person, or Black Widow. They're both just humans, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a cop out, and I understand why they're doing it. There's money involved. They want these guys to fill out their contracts because they're movie stars. They want Jeremy Renner.
But
there's nothing
to sell with Quicksilver. He doesn't have a uniform.
He doesn't have.
Listen, but at the same time, you know, that's, you know, that's
for story.
Guy, like, you know,
but
Twitter
for,
and
but
all
for
that.
Story.
Oh, right.
But listen, so, okay, so let's take
the stakes if they're always going to live.
Let's take the three characters that you said that they were going to, like, kill off, right? So if they kill off Tony Stark, well, you can't have freaking Civil War. You can't. You still haven't had Tony fight his.
Fine. I understand all that.
No. Hold on a second, because you have that one. I guess you could have killed off Hulk or like whatever. But again, we're led to believe that we don't know how much of a shelf life. I mean, he did try to shoot himself. He explained that, and the other guy basically came out, so he can't really die. Hawkeye, if he had died, we would have been like, oh, that's so obvious, because they've been plotting the whole entire, like, you know, time to kind of show. Oh, you're thinking because they show the family that he's the next one to die. So. Yeah.
Here's the story I wanted. You're led to believe at the beginning that Tony Stark creates Ultron. There's no example of why the fuck they're all together. Okay? In Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they take out the secondary base and it's just the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. It's like friggin' Sky and the five banditos, right?
Yeah. But didn't
And all of a sudden, now, you couldn't get all the friggin' Avengers together when, you know, the Mandarin is randomly killing people around the world. You couldn't get them all together when London's being attacked by aliens. You couldn't get them all together when this Winter Soldier is assassinating people over the place and S.H.I.E.L.D.'s coming down. But they're all coming together randomly in some random fucking place in Slovenia or wherever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
What the story that I thought they were going to tell, which I think would have been better, is that Stark is still passionate, just like he is in the movie, about defending Earth. He accidentally creates Ultron, and Ultron kills him. And that is what brings the team together to avenge Stark. What are they avenging? They're not avenging anything.
No, they're basically, and that's why it's so light toned in the beginning, is that they're trying to do the remnants of the first movie, which was the Scepter.
I understand. No, I understand why they.
I understand why
they did what they did. I think it's not as good a movie.
Well,
I think it would be a better movie. And there's no reason. There's no reason to not kill Tony Stark off. He's very expensive to have in their movies. You can have his entire legacy. There's no reason why you can't have all of his legacy in the storylines. He's not going to do that much anymore. He's going to probably be in Civil War, and that might be the end of it. He might die in Civil War. You know, but I just like to see the stakes actually mean something, you know?
Well, yeah, but then,
you're going to bring in one person, and the new guy's going to die, you know?
You know? Well, what would happen if, you know, Scarlet Witch could have died in this one, you know? Like, she didn't really...
I told her if the two girls died, I was fucking out.
But she's a strong.
At least we got two African-American guys and two girls out of this.
I don't know. That's a little borderline hypocritical that it's okay for, like, a death to happen, but if it's a girl death, then it's like...
The ones that are always dying. They're the ones that are always paying the price.
If it's less impactful. Who died in the first one? Who was a girl?
Huh?
Who died in the first one?
Who dies in the first one?
Who is any girl who's dying? You know, who?
Frigga.
Who?
And Thor. Thor's mom.
Oh my God! One chick versus
someone else died. Like nobody else dies.
Well, my thing was, because we talked about that too.
Everybody else is still alive.
For me, it's not so much that you have to kill somebody off, or that it has to be a female versus a male. But if you're defending the choice for them, and I said this in the car on the drive home, if you're defending the choice for them to kill Quicksilver versus Scarlet Witch, Scarlet Witch's powers are much more extensive, and she is much more capable, and it's a more intriguing character than Quicksilver. I liked him. He was fun. It was interesting to watch him, but you don't really see anything. It's just a blur, and he's fast. Okay, well, how do you develop that character? There's not as much depth to him.
Sure.
So if you're going to kill one of them, it's not because he's male versus female. I'm glad they chose him,
yes,
of the two of them, because there's more. And through his death, she, you know, steps up, you know, she, it you know, puts calls something. It, right. it creates something in her too.
Yeah. And she has more of a possibility,
also, by the way, like, cause I mean, I like Black Widow. She's a good character. She's great, but she's hypersexualized. She's always got her, and I mean, I'm male, whatever. I like it, but she's got her, you know, her zipper always down, so it's showing her chest, and they're always her in a super tight thing, which is fine. It's fine. Look, I'm a man. I like all that stuff. But Scarlet Witch, they could have Elizabeth Olsen's a good looking girl. They could have put her in tight stuff that showed off her body more than anything else, and they didn't at all. At all.
Good. But that's the whole entire point of Black Widow's characters that
I understand. It fits Black Widow, but it doesn't necessarily fit Scarlet Witch. And you know, Jamie Alexander is always busting out of her you know, her shield in all the Thor movies, right? And I mean, it's fair. The only person that's topless in this movie is Chris Hemsworth in his, you know, Rose and his in the school. For some reason,
you get to see Ruffalo.
Yeah, it's true. Ruffalo is shirtless.
He could use a shade.
He's in the pool, and he's flinging his hair back because he's in the throes of this dream or whatever, and you know all the girls.
I thought it was a useless scene where when they get attacked by Ultron initially, and Black Widow and Bruce Banner go over the bar, and he falls like face into her boobs. Unnecessary, you know, like hilarious. It's a funny moment. It's a funny line, but it's unnecessary. You know that kind
fine. But if you're gonna have an awkward romance between the two of them,
yeah, I guess so.
It's certainly less. It was actually, you know what? It's kind of a little homage to when Star-Lord and Gamora fall in after they're out in space, and he lands on top of her, and he's like, I just felt something inside of me. It was so. That moment's better than the moment in this movie too.
I agree.
I thought that was fine. It was okay. You know, they're trying to make a little you know, like a sexy you know, romance in a movie that doesn't have time. I mean, there was so much action and so much going on,
right?
Very well, I mean, for a 2.5 hour movie, I mean, this movie had, I mean, how many big, it had the initial set piece in wherever the hell it was, Castle Central. They had the set piece on the boats. They had the set piece in the main city in wherever, in where they do the Hulk busting thing at the beginning.
And then they go
back there again. They had the set piece on Avengers Tower. I mean, there were 4 or 5 or 6 big set pieces in this film. You know.
Yeah, but it still had three, just like the first movie, it had 3 major action sequences with action beats in between, right?
Yeah.
So like the first movie had like the destruction of the shield base. The second big scene was aboard the carrier, and then the third one was in New York. So this one had the initial first one in the snow. And Amy, I agree with you. I think it's hard to do CGI in the snow. It's just really, really hard to put CGI against a white background and for it not to seem like, once you put it against a dark background, for some reason visually, you can accept it more, but what, it's so clear against like a white background, you can tell like what's, you can delineate easier, like what's, you know, computer. And like,
I think it's hard for any film. I know that George Lucas famously hated filming the Hoth sequences in Strikes Back.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like that. And then you had like the second one, which probably would have been the fight sequence. It's kind of like the combination, like the whole entire action sequence of getting out of like Wakanda, and of course the third one was the final one. And like, I didn't even know what the name of the town was. Did anyone get the name of the town?
They said it a couple. They said it several times, and
Sokovia.
Yeah.
Sokovia, and I'm like, where is Sokovia? You know, like
I don't know. It's a meteor. It was this the action set piece number three was the meteor.
And it's obvious, you know, like what this movie provides, you know, obviously there's the Thor stuff. The only one I'm confused about is, I mean, I think if Robert Downey Jr. and Chris are giving an example of what's going to happen in Civil War, I want to know, where does that leave whatever his vision was of what happened after the war with Peggy Carter? I'm still a little confused. I hope that plays off somewhere else. And then also, what happens to Bruce Banner? When do we find out what happens to his character? I know we're led to believe that he goes
when he shows up in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Maybe. We don't know. Like, that's gonna be a hard thing if he's all of a sudden just outer space. You know, for him to get there, according to the comics, everyone's got a hit on the Hulk. Hulk's got to really, really like mess up, and he did mess up a little bit.
He tore up the whole town.
Well, you know, we don't know what the aftermath of all that is. And they said, we don't really know yet. You know, like, that's why, you know, Maria Hill was like, I don't really know what's going on for right now. Just kind of hang up. And they were more than happy to have him, you know, help out like the other cities. So, of course, we got like Black Panther, obviously, for like the new franchise. I'm a little disappointed they didn't tie in Ant-Man somehow. You know, like, I wish they probably would have made mention of him like as a scientist. Maybe they might in the future, because Ultron was actually created by Hank Pym, which is Michael Douglas's character.
In the comics, but yeah.
And that's what the whole entire point, you know, like, let's, you know, for me, as long as you're trying to stay true to the ideals, like I would say it before, right? In Iron Man, he gets basically the shrapnel in Vietnam. So they changed it to the Middle East for this one, but it still works, right? It is a place that we are currently overseas that we can identify with. So I hope that they're not completely rewriting it. I hope they include him somehow in that. So, Amy, are you still there? Or am I just?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, let's go ahead and wrap this one up like a little bit. Mike, you wanted to go ahead and do a rating scale. So, Mike, let's go ahead and start with you. Out of your scale, which is
I go first, so everybody can calibrate their score.
Absolutely. No, I'll go first. You know, I'll go first right now, buddy. All right, I would probably, for me to give this film, I'd probably give it probably like It's so weird that we can't give like quarters. Like, I don't know if I'm feeling more like 3.5.
You can make it whatever scale you want. Give it a scale. Make it on a scale.
Well, probably like if you were to make the scale out of like 10, kind of thing, you know, I'd probably give it like a 7.5 or 8, somewhere like on that like cusp. Like, same thing if it was out of 5, 3.5 to 4, like somewhere on there, because it is like the kickoff for like summer action films, right? Like, if this movie came out in like February, I would have been like, whoa, that's a lot for a film coming out in February, you know? I would have expected more like a Captain America, that more like intimate kind of thing. But this is what I go for, you know? Just the fact that it happens to be Avengers, it just makes it all the more freaking cool. But, you know, it's, you know, not if I'm thinking about it more and more, you know, as far as like where it's going to go, if they left anything undone, I'd probably give it more like 4 out of 5 then, probably. For the things that I like as a person who knows what the background storyline is.
You don't have to justify your score. I do watch what you think it's going to do at the box office for its opening weekend domestically.
Well,
the original Avengers did $207 million.
Gosh, with IMAX and the number of theaters and how much they're promoting it, and it started tonight. Actually, I'll probably imagine maybe like $190 million probably.
You think it's gonna do less?
Huh?
You think it's going to do less than the first Avengers?
And then opening weekend? Yeah, probably. So, because the other one was a little bit more hyped up, and that one actually started more like on Wednesday.
Okay.
Actually, if I recall back in 2012, and this one started on Thursday night. So you're losing.
It had never been done. You'd never brought together, you know, characters like the way they did. So also, you can't recreate that.
Also, did you like it more than you liked the first Avengers? Would you rate the first Avengers above this or below this?
Oh gosh, because I did just watch the original like movie ahead of time. To be quite honest, I would probably rate it the same. And the only reason I say that is because there are still so many questions that, like, you know, all the things that I didn't like about one got answered in this one. Like, yeah. Hawkeye, you know, like we're a Hawkeye. But at the same time, it filled me up with, like, more, like, why didn't they do these kind of, like, moments kind of, like, things. So I think I'm equally frustrated with where they went. I think the action sequences were 10 times better than this one. You don't really have – it's hard, right? It's always hard to do a first and a second movie, right? Because one's exposition and the other one is always, like, you know, coming off a continuation, right? So you're – it's hard. It's really, really hard. I've, you know, it's better better villain. For sure, like I love Loki.
Well, Loki's great. Loki's pretty great.
And Loki's fantastic, but Ultron
certainly better plan. Yeah. Certainly better plan.
But Ultron was a little bit more sadistic.
Yeah, Ultron was kind of almost Jokerish.
Yeah, his like Mike was saying was a little bit more of a. I can see where you're going with this. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Loki was the original villain in the first ever Avengers comic book, anyway. So probably for that sake is why they chose, you know, his character. So we're going to let Mike go last on this, Amy. So if you had a 5 Amy scale or whatever, like, what would it be?
I would probably put it around a 4, probably right under, but not, you know, kind of same type of thing. I will say, and I don't know if you watch it or not, but Blacklist. So I'm a huge Spader fan, not because of his past history and movie making and, you know, when he was Rat Pack and all that, but he is phenomenal and makes that show. And so this was, in a lot of ways, his character was very similar in, like, his sarcasm and his humor and the way he talks and, you know, kind of twists words around and throws them back at you and it pisses you off and drives you crazy. So I think he made this movie. He set the tone. So for me, I would say, I would have to say it's actually, and I think it's hard for me to say too, because I never saw the first one in the theaters, the first Avengers. And I think it's hard to recreate that magic of the first time you see them all together on the big screen.
Yep.
So I think it's probably, maybe I'm coming from a different place, but I do think it was a better villain this time around. And I am a huge Loki fan, but I think that Spader really nailed this character and, you know, his plan of how he was going to go about it was much more developed and was good. And I like, you know, as much, and I'm not a big sequel fan, but I liked kind of like what you said about how you got to some of the things that were left unsaid in the first one and unanswered. You got a little closure to those things. But again, yeah, it opens up new questions and new things for the next one. But, you know, that's what keeps us coming back, I guess. So,
right.
But yeah, so I would, for personally for myself, I would have to rate it a little bit higher, but not like globally, you know.
Right. Did you think, do you think?
Yeah, I'm so bad at that kind of stuff. I mean, the theater we went to, which is never super busy, it was playing in probably six screens or maybe even more than that. It's a 14 cinema. And there was maybe 20 people in ours.
Really?
I yeah.
We were the third show and we were the second 3D. So I purposely picked that one because I thought it'd have the least people in it.
You like the least people when it comes to doing, like,
I'm old now. I'm tired. I don't like the bullshit because if you get like a 3/4 full theater, there's always some asshole that's always making noise and someone's on their phone in front of you. And the guys behind us, I was worried about.
I know when they came in, because there was like a group of like 15 that all came in at one time.
They were fine.
They were fine once it started. I didn't even hear them back there.
So I usually try to go on off nights unless it's something like this.
I'm going to guess
$214 million opening. I think it will be
bigger.
The original Avengers, but I do not think it's going to hit the same total gross. I don't think it's as rewatchable. It's a better movie. It's just a better movie overall, but it's not anywhere near as much fun, I think, as the original. I would give it a 3.5. I probably would have rated the Avengers a 4 or 5 when I came out of the movie, because it was just so fun, so completely fun on the whole way. It's good. I liked it. I think people that are interested should see it because it's a good film. It's got a lot in it. It's really stuffed with stuff. It doesn't feel like crazy overstuffed, but when you really sit back, there's a lot of stuff that could have been way more developed that isn't. So I'm a little excited for the director's cut. I hope there's 20 or 30 more minutes in there with other backstory and more explanation stuff going on. And but I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. It is a good entry in the Marvel. Wait,
what's your scale?
3.5 out of 5.
Yeah, I figured.
It's so like if you think of a 3, so that's like a 7, right? If you think of like 10 as like, you know, Jurassic Park and Jaws and Shawshank Redemption and like amazing movies that people love forever, it's definitely not that. But if you think of like a 6 or a 5 as like so for me, I guess I liked the Fast and the Furious, the new one, more like when I came out, because I like it was more fun, but it also had like that really crazy ending that was so touching.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw it, but it was really, but it's not, that was not as good a movie as this is.
This is definitely a deeper.
The Buddy Dom stuff was so awkward in that movie, and like there was just, it's not anywhere near as good a movie. This is a really good movie, but it's not great. The two movies last year were great. Winter Soldier was great at the dark stuff, and Guardians was great at the fun.
Yeah,
and this one had a little fun. And it had a little dark, but it wasn't great either.
I thought it was a whole lot more funny and a whole lot more dark than the previous iteration. I think they went a little further with the comedy. I think they went a little touch further with the with the dark stuff. And then they spent a lot of time setting up. They spent a lot of time setting up future properties, much more than like the first one. The first one, you had no idea where anything was going to go. It's like,
I don't think they do.
Yeah, exactly. Like at the end of where do we go from here? You know, like this one, because I mean, how long ago did we see that announcement of the 10 movies, right? Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Infinity 1 and 2, Civil War, Thor, you know, they didn't do like an Iron Man, right? And so the Inhumans, right? Like we don't know like where they're going at. So, you know, speaking up real quick, did you guys get previews for both Star Wars and Jurassic World in your theater for the preview before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a lot of previews. We had Ant-Man. We had Star Wars.
Fantastic
Four.
Yeah.
Some horror movie that made me
be in Insidious 3.
Yeah.
That was the only one.
We didn't get that.
Oh, we saw Pixel.
Pixels.
They had Pixel too.
It looked kind of. And also terrible.
I can't wait to see that one because
like a train wreck.
Well, and part of the problem too.
But there's some like that moment where the old Chinese guy goes up to his creation.
Japanese.
I'm sorry. I'm terrible. I'm awful. I'm a bad person.
But see that R3D. R3D was not good. Like it was.
Yeah, it was really
so
bad.
That preview was really bad.
It was hard to watch.
Wow. Our theater probably like Jurassic World. I think I was actually surprised. A lot of people were like, "What? There's a new one?" I'm like, "Have you been like under a rock?"
I'm so excited for that one. I was like a kid in a candy store watching that. First of all, let me go on record now because that might be the next one we do. It might not be, but it might be the next one we do. I'm calling it right now. It's going to be terrible.
I thought the preview looked awesome.
Wonderful. It's going to be awesome because there's going to be people dying everywhere. There's going to be dinosaurs eating people and dinosaurs eating dinosaurs. And it's because the script's going to make no effing sense at all. And Chris Pratt's going to ride on his motorcycle through the woods, and it's going to go straight. It's not going to, his motorcycle isn't going to bounce at all. And he's going to have a Raptor squad, and it makes no sense.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be
the greatest sci-fi special after school movie of all time.
I think it's going to be terribly awesome. Yeah. If that makes sense, so.
Well, to defend, you said that there were people in the
Chris
theater.
Pratt is very pretty.
That didn't know about it. If I didn't live with Mike, I wouldn't have known about it because this is the first time they've had a preview at a movie, at least that I've been in.
Right.
And that Star Wars preview looked awesome.
Really?
Awesome.
Really?
It was good, but I don't know enough about the story. I haven't gleaned enough from the previews to understand what's going to happen.
I don't want to know the story. I'm not going to watch any more Star Wars stuff from here on out. I can tell you that I will be very surprised if I cannot take the kids to see Star Wars, because it's Star Wars. I expect to be able to take them. Yeah. I love the Marvel movies. I'm a Marvel kid. I love the Jurassic Park movies. There's no way I'm going to be able to take the kids to Jurassic Park. I'll be probably crying in the seat as we walk into the theater, being able to take my kids to go see Star Wars.
Let me ask you this one.
I want to see it with them.
Yeah. Real quick, now that we gave our ratings and everything, let's go back to the movie real quick. For those who have kids out there, why do you think this movie wouldn't be appropriate?
It's a 13. I mean, maybe a 12-year-old, maybe.
Yeah, but what exactly about it is like the thing that's been?
It's first of all, it's very dark, and the opening sequence is extremely violent. It's as violent as any of the Marvel films. The two biggest things for me is it's very long. It's 2.5 hours. So if you have kids that are under 10 or 11, getting them to sit in the theater for 2.5 hours is hard, even for a movie that they're really into. It's also not very fun or light ever at any moment in the movie. Almost all of the humor is adult humor.
Yeah.
It's a lot of situational humor. It's a lot of wordplay humor. And younger kids don't get that. They don't understand it. Like the stuff in Guardians of the Galaxy that works really well, there's this talking raccoon. It's really light. It's really colorful. There's these bright colors all over the place. This movie's very gray.
Mm-hmm.
Other than Iron Man and Hulk, there's not a lot of color at all. I mean, yeah. I guess it's Captain America's in blue.
I think the other thing, too, in between those scenes, scenes, a lot of the conversations that the characters are having are going to be, one, there's a lot of unspoken dialogue. The way the characters interact and the, expressions and stuff that they get, you read a lot as an adult into what they're thinking and feeling that a kid is not going to pick up on. Or it's going to bore them, and you've lost their attention, and then you get them back,
That scene that we all liked
in the bathroom, yeah,
where the two of them are talking, where Black Widow and Hulk and Banner are talking about why they can't have kids. Like it's a really high level adult theme. It's just not appropriate for an 8-year-old.
Right. I thought that was I did not expect that.
You know, they love Guardians of the Galaxy. They both really loved it. I take them to see movies that are, PG or PG-13 if I've seen them first. I don't think it's appropriate for kids that young. And I'm not a parent a lot of parents are very protective about language. They're very protective about violence. If it's cartoony violence, it doesn't bother me so much. Language, I don't care about at all. Like if there's a couple F-bombs in a movie, it doesn't really bother me. I know a lot of parents are like that. So Guardians had a lot of had some language.
Yeah.
And so some parents were kind of up, with that. To me, that wasn't that big a deal. There's a little bit of language in this, but not a lot. I just think that I don't think it's something that will really. Drew really likes the first Captain America.
Right.
It's
more camp.
There's all this cartoonish stuff going on. The
Red Skull is cartoonish.
The Red Skull's got this big giant red head.
Yeah.
I put on Captain America: The Winter Soldier, and he likes Captain America.
But it's
too deep. It's above his head, way above his head. But like Star Wars, he enjoys, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's colorful and there's a lot of stuff going on. So yeah, I would not recommend people take their kids to see this. I think it's not really a movie. And that's another reason why I don't think it'll do as well. Because if parents can't take their kids, it's, you're not going to rewatch it as much. Because the people that like to rewatch movies are 13-year-olds and 10-year-olds and 5-year-olds. And, so the parents aren't going to take their kids to see this. They'll wait and they'll take their kids to see something later.
Okay. All right. I like that. So,
you don't have any kids, obviously, but what's your opinion?
I would definitely say and I think that's why, maybe darker isn't the right word, but there is certainly some ominous stuff for future events happening. You can kind of get that kind of sense, but it's much more deeper than I expect the movie to go to. Like, that talk about the child stuff, what happens, I'm like, that would like they didn't go over that in Agent Carter when they showed off like the Black Widow program or anything like that. But it makes sense, like, you know, in some ways, like, you know, that, right? It's you don't need it, but it certainly adds to it, right? You're like, wow, oh,
great for the movie. It just
doesn't
work out.
Yeah. What happened between Bruce and and Scarlet or Black Widow? That's not a happy ending. Like, where are you going? You know, like there's certainly nothing too happy about it. You get that feeling that people are like leaving for these new people kind of thing. There's an actual death that happens in this one. So that's why, yeah, I would, you know, kids are a little bit more desensitized these days. So I'd probably go with your recommendation. I'm sure that probably kids who are even like 11 or 12 may not be as surprised as some of the stuff. If we see what happens on network television versus like what these kids can see today, I don't think it'd be a size, but yeah, in the same way, I'd probably not take like anyone like too young, you know, unless, you know, that just wait for like a little bit, you know. It's certainly one of those like movies where, you know, I'm glad that it felt different though than the first Avengers, you know, even though it is like the sophomore one, you know, like, so I'm perfectly fine with keeping it above that nice, that 13, 14 range. It's a nice like little range if you have nice and innocent kids. So yeah. So just like Mike was saying before, thanks everyone for listening, by the way. He's right. Probably the next big one to hit, if Tomorrowland's not your big one, is coming out the 22nd. Jurassic World is coming out in June the 12th, so we'll probably go over that. Because that's really only the major movie coming out in June. Like, we won't get Ant-Man or Minions or Trainwreck or even that Pixels movie or even like Mission Impossible until July. July is going to be a really, really big month. But June is going to be like the next one for like the Jurassic World. So again, we want to thank everyone for listening for a nice little spirited conversation. I didn't realize it was actually going to be this long. I thought we were going to like zip right through it, but we actually had a lot of like really, really good questions back and forth. So again, keep up with us. You see us a lot on Facebook. So Exit the Donut page on Facebook. You can catch us there. You'll see handles for our Twitter. Also for WordPress, we have like a lot of our reviews. Mike, I imagine that you'll probably be doing a review.
I'm gonna see. I my mom's coming in this weekend, so I might not have time, but I'm gonna try.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably try and write one out early. I'm trying to beat Mike these days. I'll probably go see it again. This movie, because it's always great to see, like, you know, what I am missing. Like, some scenes I'm just like, you know, like just like Amy was saying, like I don't. It's hard to see because you want to see like everything, so you almost have to go like a second time if you want to catch it, if it's worth it to you. So is it worth seeing again? Yeah, definitely the entire way. You can help Mike with his goal to get to the biggest opening weekend if you want to go see it like a second time. But again, everyone, thank you so much for listening. If you guys have any kind of like feedback, whatever kind of like level, go ahead and list it down, whether it's on the Facebook page, kind of fire it back. We're more than happy to answer any questions or anything that you'd like us to even like question about, like, do the next movies. I want to thank everyone again, and we'll see you in a few for the next podcast. Take care.
You can contact us on Twitter at Exit the Donut, or our email, exitthedonutpodcast@gmail.com, our website, exitthedonut.wordpress.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.